Welcome to the Inspiring Women Leaders podcast. I'm Kath Daly, the director of Kath Daly Limited and author of the Step Up and Stand Out program for women leaders who want to be truly confident, persuasive and more influential. In this podcast, I talk with highly successful women leaders who are making a big difference in their chosen field to find out who and what has inspired them in their journey to where they are today. Today, we have with us Sue Lawton. Sue is Vice President of Business Development for GainX Incorporated, a global technology firm that is leading the charge in enterprise innovation. And she has extensive experience in enterprise development, working within the UK, the USA and Central America. She has MAs in Human Resource Management and Social Enterprise Management, as well as being a visiting fellow at the Small Business Research Centre at Kingston University. In addition to being the global advisor for We Connect International, Sue is a special advisor to the All Parliamentary Group for Women in Enterprise and is a trustee of the Commonwealth Children's League Education Fund, supporting girls in emerging countries to continue their secondary education. In 2014, Sue was awarded the MBE for promoting women's business leadership worldwide. Welcome, Sue.
Hello, Kath. Pleasure to speak to you today.
Well, thank you for agreeing to share with us all who and what has inspired you. But before we find out a bit more about that, can you tell us a bit about We Connect and how it came about?
I can indeed. We Connect is a global charity, but it's a membership organisation, and the members are multinational corporations. Companies such as Accenture, IBM, Intel, Marriott Hotels, Walmart, the list goes on. But the thing, that common theme that runs through their membership is the fact that they want to get more women-owned businesses into the global supply chain. And that's because women are less than 1%
really?
Of the contracts awarded in global contracting. So it may sound that it's a very philanthropic thing to be doing for them, and indeed it is. However, there is also economic opportunity, because less than 1% mean there's the opportunity for growth.
I didn't realise it was that low a figure.
Sadly, it is.
So how does We Connect operate?
We Connect tries to bring together market opportunities for the women business owners. So part of the problem is that the women don't know when those global contracts or local contracts are going to become available and can't go forward and bid for them. Once they have bid for them, it is an even playing field. This is not about preferential treatment. It's about equal opportunity. And it's about opening the glass door. We talk about glass ceilings, but there's also a glass door. So We Connect works to find the women-owned businesses, to help them be confident enough to bid for those contracts, and to help the corporates look for the women, because the women tend to be somewhat invisible.
Yeah, I think that's from what I've seen as well in various other events, and we've talked about this in the past, is that women in business and very successful women very often do have a low visibility.
They do indeed. And also it's difficult, because sometimes when we find superb women business owners, they'll say to us, but I don't want to be labelled as a woman-owned business. And I can understand that. However, every opportunity is an opportunity. And as I say, all we're doing is giving them the knowledge that a contract is available for bid. After that, it's up to them. And the gender of the owner of the business really doesn't come into it.
Absolutely. So in terms of where you are as a businesswoman yourself, you have succeeded where many other women haven't. So how have you managed to do this? What is it about you that makes you different from all of those other women who haven't achieved your level of success, would you say?
I think it's because I'm an optimist. I always think everything will be okay. And if somebody gives me an opportunity, of course the answer's yes. Then I think about it and think, oh, that's going to be a bit daunting. However, you know, we're through the door then, so there's no going back.
Yeah. So it's about, do you think people make their own opportunities?
Actually, you know, I think they do. I think there's lots of opportunities around for many people. It's whether you grasp them or not. sometimes they're there, they're right under your nose, but you can't see them. So actually, I think it's about being positive in your attitude. And if somebody gives you the opportunity, then you go for it.
And then think about how you're going to do it later.
Yes, indeed.
So what women in your life, Sue, have inspired you?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I think in my childhood, very few. I think it was only as I got to be a little bit older that I became inspired by women. I think in my childhood, reading books of people like Freya Stark, you know, that wonderful adventurer and writer. And then as an older woman, I'm still on that travel journey of Dervla Murphy and her wonderful writings. I didn't come from a very inspirational background. I came from a very working class background with not a very high academic achievement. And it was only when I got older and started to find out that other women were actually doing these things that I could do it too. Hence, I didn't get any of my master's degrees until I was over 40. So it was a bit of a late starter.
Late starter. So you made up for lost time.
Indeed.
So what inspired you over 40 to go back and get your master's then?
Well, I was doing quite well in business, going where I wanted to go, but I felt I didn't have that academic credibility. You know, I think it goes back to the old days when there used to be the 11 plus, and I had failed that. And I never quite got over it, even though I had managed to then go on to university and do other things. I still had that element of academic failure in the back of my mind. And I wanted that credibility so that as I was building my career going forward, not only did I have the experience, but I also had those pieces of paper to help me along the way.
So
I was closing doors, I suppose.
Yeah. So you said that you like reading a lot when you're a child, and that's where you found your inspirations. Before we go on to fictional characters, which women from history have you found to be an inspiration? And in what way have they inspired you?
Well, I think the one that I find most inspiring is Emily Wilding Davison. I don't know if you know who she is.
Yes, I do.
You do.
I do, but some of our listeners might not.
Well, if you go into the House of Commons, there's a tiny little church in the basement called the Chapel of St. Mary's Undercroft. And down in the basement of that church, there's an electrical cupboard where all the meters are in. If you go into the cupboard and close the door, on the back of the door is a plaque. And it's to Emily Wilding Davison, who was a suffragette. And in 1911, she slept in that cupboard overnight so that the census for the year had to give her address as the House of Commons, which I think was inspiring. It's very sad that she then went on to die. She threw herself under the King's horse, which was a very brave thing to do. And I'm just in awe of women who did so much and paid such a price.
Yes, interesting. I was when I was in the in Portcullis House a couple of weeks ago, there's a plaque there on the wall to her.
Well, you go and have a look in the cupboard.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. Have a look in the cupboard. Yes, I'd heard that story before. So in what particular way did she inspire you to do what you're doing?
I think it was the passion with which she went about doing things. There was no half journey for her and for the other colleagues, the other women who were in the suffragist movement with her. I'm not sure I would have been so brave, but I'm very thankful to them that they did that.
I know when we, it's interesting you say that, because when I was in my late teens, I sort of haven't got into reading feminist writings and so on, and it was the suffragettes. I think there was, I remember there being a series on TV about the Pankhursts, and again, I'd like to think I would have been that brave, but I'm not sure I would.
No, indeed. You know, you try to think, would I have been that person in that life? And I'm afraid I probably wouldn't have. I would have been on the sidelines, stuffing the envelopes and sewing the banners. And willing them on.
All counts though.
Yeah.
So going back to, you said that you read a lot of books and got your inspiration from reading. Which fictional, and there may be more than one, I suppose, which fictional female character do you admire the most, and why do you admire her?
Well, I think I'm into feisty women. So, of course, you know, Jane Bennett from Pride and Prejudice, you know, it's one of those books, you go back and read it, and then you watch the TV series, and then you watch the film. And it's one of those stories that you can just wrap up in a blanket on a rainy day and just be inspired by. And I suppose also Becky Sharp from Vanity Fair, for all her faults, she definitely had ambition and personality, and that's what I admire in them.
So is it personality that you admire? What is it about their personality?
Well, I think that they're women who are not just accepting the norm. You know, if you look at when Elizabeth Bennet was potentially going to be married off by her mother to a really boring vicar, she actually did something about it and stood up for herself. And I think it was women who challenge what have been in the past norms that are no longer acceptable. And we can now see as women who have opportunity and choice that those women were doing some really exciting things under different circumstances.
Mm. So is challenging norms something that's important to you?
It is. It's not just bucking against the system. It's only if the system isn't equal for all. Mm. And it isn't just a gender thing. You know, I feel just as strongly about ethnicity, disability, anybody who doesn't have a fair crack of the whip because the rest of us are saying, you know what, you're not like us, therefore you can't come and play.
Mm. So you're obviously an avid reader.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to be another one I suspect I'm going to add to my list. What would you say is the most inspirational book you've read that you would recommend to other women to inspire them?
I want to apologise almost, but because I'm going to name a couple of books that are written by men.
Oh, right. OK, it's fine.
I really enjoyed Richard Branson's Losing My Virginity because I like his product. I like his image, and I like the manner in which he conducts his business. Mm. My other one, of course, is Nelson Mandela's Long Walk to Freedom, simply because of the social comment in the book and understanding where he was and the impact that he made in his life journey as well as political journey. Mm. But I think I'd also like to throw in there a fictional book as well, and that's The Help, because it's one of those books that show women in different roles in life that make a difference in many different ways, from the young white woman to the black maid to the cook. Mm. Who were all making their statements in their own way and are equally inspiring.
Can you remind me of the author of The Help?
Cause I can't remember. Yeah, I'd have to think about that one.
Okay, because I'm just thinking if people listen to this, one of the things women tell me is that they go then and look for these books. So I was just wondering if you, I'll find out and let people know.
It was by Catherine Stockett.
Catherine Stockett.
I knew if I thought about it longer, it would come to me.
Catherine Stockett.
Yes.
That's one I haven't actually read. So another one to add to my. I've read the other two.
It's
and that'll
a joy.
Be another one to add to my reading list. And then one of the issues is I get them and then I just want to sit and read them.
Yes.
So, Sue, hindsight is a wonderful thing, as we know. But what one thing, and there may be several, what one thing, though, do you know now that you'd wish you'd known when you're starting out on your career or starting your business?
I wish I'd known that it was okay to be different and that you can have self-belief in yourself when you're young and you just don't have to follow what everybody else is doing.
Mm.
I think my career would have gone a lot faster earlier had I really had that belief in myself instead of listening to everybody else who said, oh, girls don't do that, or you can't possibly leave the north of England and do anything more exciting.
Mm. So if you put that in a nutshell, what would it be then?
Self-belief.
Self-belief. As people who listen to this regularly will know that I love collecting inspirational quotations. So do you have a favourite one, Sue?
I do. I originally saw it on a T-shirt in Texas. And that inspired me to look it up. The quote is, "Well-behaved women seldom make history." And that's from Laurel Thatcher Ulrich, who's an American academic. But I think it's a brilliant quote because it's true. If you don't stir up some trouble, nothing's going to change.
So well-behaved women seldom make history. I like that.
That's
one.
That's the one.
That's definitely being added to my collection. Might even get a T-shirt.
Yeah. A new business opportunity.
Yeah, there we go. If you could only give one piece of advice to other women leaders, Sue, what would it be?
It would be open the door and do it anyway.
Open the door and do it anyway. Okay, thank you, Sue. It's been a privilege to speak with you today and to share your insights into who and what has inspired you on your journey to where you are today. And I'm sure women leaders listening to this will be inspired what you've shared with us. So thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Kath. It's been an absolute pleasure.
You can learn more about this podcast, download free articles and resources, and find out more about the Step Up and Stand Out program for women leaders at www.kathdaily.com.